You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we focus on answering listener questions. And if you have a question for a future episode, I'll let you know how you can submit that once we get to the end. This is episode 16 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. And the question that we're going to discuss today is one that comes up from time to time. And it has to do with the severity of sin, particularly the question of if all sins are equal or if some are somehow more severe than others. And this is actually a question that I addressed in a sermon a few years ago and published that sermon audio as a podcast episode. It was about 3 years ago. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you've heard this topic before, but we're going to cover it more succinctly today, but I will link to the other episode with the sermon audio in the show notes if you want to hear this topic discussed in more detail. But the question that we're going to look at today, that we're going to consider, is this: are some sins worse than others? Now, depending on how we're going to think about that question or what angle we're going to take as we approach this question, it could be that we would answer either yes or no. That yes, some sins are worse than others, or no, some sins are not worse than others. And so I want us to consider this from both angles, where we would answer yes, we would answer no. Why would there be a difference? Well, what is going on with this then? So on the first side of this, in one sense, we could say that some sins are worse than others. Now, why would we say that? Why would we think that some sins are worse than others? Because this, if we are familiar with the Bible, we might think that this doesn't sound like it's the right answer, that surely all sins are the same. Why would we say that some sins, in one sense, or in some sense, are worse than others? Well, for one, some sins have greater physical consequences than others. Over in Proverbs 13 and verse 15, the wise man said that the way of the treacherous, or the transgressor, as some translations have, the way of the treacherous is hard or is difficult. That there are negative consequences in this life before we ever think about the punishment that comes from God for sins that where we have not received forgiveness. Some sins just have greater physical consequences attached to them in this life. There might be sins that we commit that result in us having to suffer prison time. We may endure financial loss. We may injure ourselves or others. Sometimes we might commit a sin that leads to our death. And there are other consequences, and not all sins are the same in this regard. Some sins carry no risk of injury. Some sins carry no risk of prison time, but others do. So some sins have greater physical consequences that come with them. There are also some sins that are more damaging to others than maybe some other sins would be. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 16, Paul, as he was writing to Timothy, talked about how he was, mistreated or neglected by his brethren, those who refused to stand with him though he was facing difficulties and trials. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, where he says, "At my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them." Now, this is just one example. There are many types of sins that we might commit or others might commit that would cause others to feel forsaken. In this case, Paul felt as if he was abandoned. Now, he would go on to say that the Lord didn't abandon me. The Lord stood with me. But his brethren, they forsook him. And so that affected him. Also, over in Galatians chapter 2, we read about the sin of Peter, that Paul had to confront him about his sin. Peter, or also known as Cephas, and that's the name that is used by Paul in this passage. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 13, after he confronted Peter or Cephas because of his sin. It says in verse 13, the rest of the Jews joined with him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. So you have the apostle Peter acting like a hypocrite. The brethren that were with him also went along with him, that even Barnabas, and if you remember Barnabas, he was the one who was called the son of encouragement in Acts chapter 4. That's what the apostles referred to him as. That's how he was known, that he was an encourager, the son of encouragement. Well, even he was going with Peter into hypocrisy, that our sin could lead others to sin. But also, besides those examples in Scripture, as we think about the first point, where some sins have greater physical consequences that are associated with them, that we might harm ourselves, we might have penalties that come with that, that extend over years. Well, it could be that our sin, depending on which sin it is, could have a devastating impact on others. We think of the innocent person who loses their life because someone else got drunk and got behind the wheel and caused an accident and caused some innocent person to lose their life. Now that person's dead, and the family has to mourn the loss of that innocent person because one person got drunk and got behind the wheel and caused that accident. You have children whose lives are turned upside down because of their parents' divorce. Now, we think about divorce. Yes, Jesus gave a permission in certain instance, in the case of fornication, for divorce. But even then, most times, there's not going to be that as the cause. There's going to be some other cause. But even when it's a scriptural divorce, if we want to use that term, one that's authorized by Christ, it is still, when there are children involved, it still turns their world upside down. They are affected by that, and that affects them for the rest of their life. Or you can have a Christian who looks up to either a preacher or an elder or some older Christian, maybe someone who helped lead them to the truth, and that person they look up to commits some terrible sin, and it causes them or helps lead them down this path where they themselves just abandon the faith because they see the sin that in this one that they looked up to, and that leads them to abandon or to completely leave the faith. Now, in that case, that person is still going to be held accountable for his choice in abandoning the faith, but the temptation arose because the person he looked up to went into sin, committed some sin that was not something that would have been expected, was out of character for him, and it completely threw that person off, and they didn't know how to deal with it or didn't deal with it properly. And there are other examples that we might come up with, but we don't need to ever think that our sin affects no one but ourselves. Oftentimes, our sins are going to affect others, and many times it's going to have a severe impact upon others depending on what type of sin it is, but that's going to vary depending on the type of sin that we're talking about. Also, repentance is more difficult for some sins than it is for others. Some sins are harder to give up because they are addictive. Talked about the example of the drunk driver. Well, some people get addicted to alcohol. Some people get addicted to other drugs, and it's difficult for them to get over that. Now, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talked about the need to exercise self-control. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. In verse 27, he says, I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. He talked about we need to exercise self-control. Even Paul, an apostle, knew that he had to exercise self-control. Well, there are some sins that require more self-control than others. And because of our history, maybe certain sins may require more self-control for us than they would for someone else. Someone who had been an alcoholic and had given that up may have a more may have to exercise more self-control to avoid alcohol in the future than someone who's never taken a drink in their life. So we may have to exercise more self-control to avoid some sins than others. Also, there are some sins that, by the very nature of them, they're described in Scripture as being contrary to nature. That in order to practice them, in order to justify them in our mind, that we have to completely alter the way we think. Paul used the example of the sin of homosexuality in Romans chapter 1 to make this point. That you have a lot of people today who are try to normalize this practice. But Paul, as he described it here, did not describe this as something that was normal. It was something that it was a sin like other sins. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about how all sins in another sense are all basically the same or have all certain things in common. But he used the example of the sin of homosexuality to make the point that this is, in this sense that he's going to talk about here, more difficult to overcome than others. It's more difficult for someone to repent. Well, why is that? Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says, "For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error." Here he's describing the practice of homosexuality. And he says that this is contrary to nature. This is not something that is natural. It's not something that is someone just stumbles along in. That in order to practice this, and in order to for one to justify this in their mind, to think that this is something that is wholesome, this is something that is good, this is something that is normal, they have to completely alter the way they think. And sometimes this could be conscious effort on their part. Sometimes this is the result of some abuse that they received when they were younger, and this has caused mental damage and leads them to this. But regardless of what it is, what the cause was, when someone thinks that this is natural and normal, it is very difficult, not impossible, but it is more difficult for one to overcome that sin, for one to repent of that sin. And so there are some ways that we could say that some sins are worse than others. Some have greater physical consequences. Some are more damaging to others. And there are some that are more difficult for us to repent from those sins. But then there's another sense in which there is a commonality between sins, that there are certain facts that all sins have in common. Number one, all sins separate us from God. John wrote about in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 that sin is lawlessness. It is a violation of the law of God, which means it leads to our separation from God. Your sins have separated you from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 makes that point. And Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 23, that because we are separated from God from our sins, the wages of sin that we stand to receive are death. We stand to face spiritual and eternal death because of our sins. All sins have that in common. It doesn't matter if it's the sin of drunkenness or the sin of homosexuality or any other, what we might think of as lesser sins. It doesn't matter what the sin is. All sins separate us from God. Also, another thing that all sins have in common, and this is something that's good for us to remember and helpful, is that all sins can be forgiven. Paul described himself in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 as the chief of sinners, or the foremost of all sinners. And yet, he said in the very next verse, in verse 16, that the Lord demonstrated his perfect patience toward him. That despite his sin, he was a persecutor of the church, he was a blasphemer, he was a violent aggressor, as he said a couple verses before this. And we can read about Paul's history in the book of Acts. Before he became a Christian, he was persecuting the church. He was on his way to Damascus to find Christians and bring them bound back to Jerusalem. He was able to be forgiven. He was the foremost of all sinners, but he was able to be forgiven. If we sin, doesn't matter what the sin is, if we repent and we seek after God's forgiveness in the way that he has prescribed in his word, he will forgive us. Another thing that all sins have in common is that as God is willing to forgive us of any sin, we should be willing to forgive any sin of others that others may commit. God is willing to forgive. We need to be willing to forgive others as well. Over in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus said in verse 3, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." If someone sins and they sin against you and they come and they ask you for your forgiveness, Jesus says you forgive them. They repent, they are sorrowful, they want to make things right. Forgive that person of their sins. We should not continue to hold a grudge when someone is trying to make this right, when someone is trying to make this change. Even if someone commits the same sins over and over 7 times a day, Jesus said we must be willing to forgive. Now, when we think about this concept of sin and what the Bible says about sin, we need to understand that we have to work to remove sin from our lives. We think about what Paul said over in Romans chapter 6. He said that we are to consider ourselves to be dead to sin. He's writing to Christians. This is how you consider yourself. In Romans chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, he says, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts." You are to be dead to sin, and do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Some sins have greater consequences than others. We've already talked about that. Some sins are more difficult for us to repent, but all sins, we need to work to remove them from our life. We're not to be tolerant and say, "Well, this sin doesn't seem as bad as some other sins, or this sin doesn't cause as much harm as some other sins, so it's really not that big of a deal." No, we have to work to remove all sins from our life. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 48 that you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. John wrote in 1 John 2 and verse 1 that, "I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin." That's the goal. Not that so you may not commit any really bad sins. He says so that you may not sin. So we have to work to remove all sin. And this is a process. This is something that is ongoing for as long as we're here on this earth. We are going to be working at this. But we have to work to remove all sin from our life. And no sin is small enough to be tolerated. So we think about what James wrote about in James chapter 1, how he described sin. He says in James chapter 1, verse 15, says, "When lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death." Sin is like a cancer. Sin will eat away at us. Sin will destroy us. We should not deceive ourselves into thinking, "Well, this sin isn't really that bad, or it's not one of the worst sins." No sin is small enough to be tolerated. And so, as we bring this to a close, the last thing I want us to talk about in regards to this topic is about repentance and forgiveness. If you sin, repent and turn back to God. If you commit some sin that there are severe physical consequences, long-term consequences, things that cannot be undone, like talked about the drunk driver who takes the life of an innocent person, whatever it is, if there are some severe physical consequences, don't allow that to keep you from making things right. Some people think that, "Well, I've done something that is so bad that I could never make things right. God could never forgive me. Remember Paul, who was the chief of sinners, and he could be forgiven. No matter what sin you've committed, turn your life around. Turn to God so you can prepare for life after this life, life after death. And then if others sin and repent, forgive them. As we read in Luke chapter 17 and verse 3, your brother sins against you, he comes and repents, forgive him. And if we refuse to do this, we can't expect God to forgive us. Jesus said in Matthew 6 verse 15 that if we don't forgive others, that we won't be forgiven ourselves. We need to not think of some sin that we've committed as being so bad that we can't seek forgiveness, or so small that we don't need to worry about it. And in regards to others, we don't need to think that, well, what they did is so bad we can never forgive them. No, we need to recognize that, yes, there are some differences between sins as far as their consequences. But as far as when it comes to the penalty for sin, our accountability to God, and also the ability for us to be forgiven, in that sense, all sins are the same. So let's work to overcome sin, to not be tolerant of our own sin, not be content in sin, and also be willing to forgive others so we can help lead them to the Lord, out of their sin, no matter what their sin is, out of their sin so that they can also faithfully serve the Lord. Well, thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have a question for a future episode, there are a couple ways that you can submit that. You can fill out the podcast question submission form. There's going to be a link in the show notes where you can fill out that. You can send a message to the Plain Bible Teaching Facebook page. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet your question at Plain Bible Teach. And if you found this episode to be helpful, I ask you to share this with others that you think might be able to benefit from it. Lord willing, we'll be back with two more episodes next month. Thanks again for listening. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.